So now I want to introduce our speaker for the day. Laura was born into a family of three siblings and two educator parents. She grew up in Thousand Oaks, California, and Lima, Peru. She's been married for 27 years to Irwin, and they've raised two adult children. When people are not around, she loves to read and bake while listening to podcasts, but mostly she loves to engage in deep conversations with people from all walks of life. She considers her work a form of spiritual service of worship. She works as a mediator and family life coach as the director of Wise Choices Educational Solutions. And I can say my littlest Ruby got to meet with her throughout the summer, and it was an incredible blessing. She has such a way with kids. Her postgraduate work was actually in medical family therapy, and she's trained and specializes in family transitions, specifically in adoptions and mediation. Her unique bent is to bring a strategic and relationship aspect to all she's involved in. She helps people unlock their dreams and make practical steps to see impossible things happen. And so she's here today, and I'm really excited about what she's going to speak to us about. I was talking with her a couple months ago and said, if you had an opportunity to talk to Sprouts Moms, what is the first thing that you'd like to talk to them about? And she knew right away. She says, I want to talk to them about how their unique calling in their marriage and in their family to do just what they're to do. And so today she's going to talk with us about a family mission, an approach to remembering. She said to me, I want women to remember why they married the person they married, or why they made the decisions they made, and how they're uniquely gifted and called, and then why their family is unique as a foundational place to start when thinking about parenting choices, or maybe activity choices and things that we choose to put into our lives and things that we can say no to. And I loved that as we think about starting off here at the beginning of Sprouts, because throughout this year, we're going to hear from great speakers about lots of topics. And we could be tempted to think, oh, I should be doing that. Oh, and I like how she does that, and I want to do that too. Or I'm not doing that very well. I don't know if you're like me, but I do that. And to remember today that each of us are uniquely equipped to be the moms that we are to the kids that we have. And hopefully that foundation will serve as a filter for us as we engage in learning throughout the year. We can pick the things that actually work for us and leave the things that don't. So Laura's going to expand a lot on that. And so I would invite her to come on up, my fairly new friend, Laura. And she brought treats.
Well, one thing that is kind of a misnomer, I will do some speaking, but the majority of the work will be your work today. And I love to facilitate. I love to get to know people. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have to share, because I just feel like I'm enriched here because I get to meet with each of you today. So I want to just talk a little bit about, I run an agency called Wise Choice Educational Solutions, and it exists because most families go through some degree of difficulty and change. And nobody likes change, but we all need to grow in order to be successful. So we facilitate families being successful by providing assessments, training, coaching, and mediation to help families flourish through difficult times. So I am just starting off at the beginning saying no family is completely put together, and if you thought mine was, it's not, and if you think yours is, I bless you in that, but we're going to do some work today because we all struggle, and so that's, I guess, the thing I want to say. I started a Sprouts group, a MOPS group, when I was in my 20s, 30s, and Jamie's mother was the lady in charge. And she did a beautiful job, but it looked like all the women were so together. And I always thought, ugh, I just can't hardly pull myself together. I want to be there, but I don't feel like I'm very well put together. So it's really fun now to meet people now that I've grown a little bit older. I'm like, hey, we're all in this together, and we're all struggling different parts of life, and we all do the best we can. And so the goal today is to really work on some pieces so that way we're able to say, hey, I know where I'm headed and I know where I'm going to the best of my ability at this time. So a lot of what I felt growing up into my 20s and 30s and 40s was that people had all sorts of expectations of me. So my parents had expectations of what their grandchildren should look like. My aunts and uncles felt like they knew what my kids should look like, what my family should look like. And finally, when I was asked to, it was kind of a weird whole set of events, but I was asked to start teaching some parenting classes, and I'm like, yeah, I am the least of the person that should be doing this. And so I started reading, and I was like, just give me something, to some tools to work with. And so I read Boundaries with Kids, and it was like this life-changing event for me. It gave me something to be able to say, oh, I know what my job as a parent is. Pretty easy, actually, if you just think in terms of all I have to do is provide for my kids, all I have to do is protect them, and all I have to do is help them get to the next stage of life. Not the end of life, just the next stage. So then it gave me some tangibles to be able to go, okay, how do we do this better? And I had written mission statements. My husband went along with it with me because I was really intense into figuring out what our mission should be as we were parenting. And so a lot of the pieces we were like, well, we're going to have well-educated kids. They're going to be so respectful all the time. They're going to do all these things. And kind of a list of more do's and don'ts. And then when my kids were about four, all of a sudden I read this book and I started saying, you know, let's talk about where our kids really are in life. And so we had a child. My kids are 11 months apart, and I kept trying to do the career thing for the first few years, and finally it was like, hey, this is not really going to continue to work the way I thought it was going to work. And so there were all these little pieces that, and then my daughter had some medical issues, and I kept saying, okay, this isn't quite working the same way I thought it was going to work. And I didn't feel very well equipped at all these pieces. And I kept thinking, am I the only one that has a child that's medically needy? And how do you do life a little bit differently without getting all paranoid and freaked out all the time? And so with that, it really meant that we had to kind of adjust some of our mission that we had in life, some of our intentional things we really wanted out of life, to be able to make it a little more ambiguous, but also to give our family a flavor. It was about the same time my grandmother passed away, and we... I had always loved going to her house. Her house was painted pink. Everything was pink. She had pink tile, pink sink, pink toilet, pink everything. The fancy decorations were the clowns on the wall in our grandchildren's bedroom, and I now know it was probably to scare us all to death. But everything was pink. And so when we went to go sell her house, it was all like at the same time. Everybody kept coming in and going, oh, the house is really pink. And for me, it meant, you know, I had really cool tea parties with my grandmother. I had all these really cool things that were associated with the pinkness of her house, the really feminine, the really soft side of life. But other people were coming in and saying, that's not what I want for my house. That would be like a horror story. And so it's kind of the same way in how we run our own household sometimes. Sometimes we're like, okay, how do we do life? And we're looking at somebody else. But really, it's about, who are we supposed to be? Who are we intended to be? Why do we have the unique bents in our children that we have? I was thinking over on the way of coming over here today, and when my child was two, and we were on the way to Mops, which is the same thing as Sprouts, she was like a Houdini. And so she would climb out of everything. We went through car seat after car seat. And we're on the 26 and the 217 where it merges, and she stands up and she waves at the police officer, who I couldn't get on the right-hand side of the lane, but the police officer kindly escorted me to the right side of the lane. And so I got ticketed for my daughter being out of her car seat, and I tried to explain this is her third car seat in a short period of time. And yet how do you do those pieces of life, knowing what your job is as a parent, but also you've got these unique children that are bent a certain way, and to really be able to look at those things and say, okay, how do we use this as a gift? You don't have fear. It's a little scary for me, but how do we use that lack of fear for somebody else to really bless them and do the family pieces? So what I'm going to ask you to do, will you take your little flyer you have in front of you and start writing down the characteristics you really want in your family? What is completely essential that you say, there is no way my children, when they leave this household when they're 18, and believe it or not, your kids will turn 18 someday, and when they go to leave, what do you want them to be able to say? Our household was a household of. Will you just start making a list for yourself and take about 2 or 3 minutes to do so? Okay, now, I know that's hard to do, huh? So some of this we'll do at home later on, too, and you have time to talk to different people and say, okay, if we're in this together, how do we do this together? But one thing maybe you could do right now is turn to somebody in your row. And I know you guys don't know each other really well, but you get the opportunity today to meet somebody that you don't know very well. and just kind of be sharing a little bit about what that those characteristics mean for you. Like if you say, I really want love, well, what does that look like? Okay, are you at a place that now you can kind of figure out two or three or four things that you go, this is so important, we've got to have this? Well, you flip your page, no lid, just your page, and then really write down your 3 to 5 priorities that are going to be top. And it's kind of fun. Thank you for sharing. When I keep going around, I keep hearing really cool ideas. It's like all these families, you're like, oh, that's a fun family. So if you'll do that, and then right underneath there is a basically a form that says, hey, my family is a family that. And try to write kind of your mission statement at that point. My family is a family that. Got any ideas? It's hard to narrow it. I know, exactly. But just kind of start formulating some things. And then I'm going to have you turn to another partner and then be sharing with them and see if they can help wordsmith it for you. Okay, are we ready to share with each other as a whole group and get some more ideas? Do we feel comfortable sharing? Did anybody have the word fun in theirs? Okay. Will you share?
Oh, well.
Will you share your fun statement?
The whole thing?
Do you mind?
Okay.
Yours was good.
You want me to read this, or do you want me to read the priorities?
How about if you read
all right.
the statement?
Oh, I don't like this.
I was going to sing it. You sound really good.
Oh, thank. Well, it's because I'm sick, so I have this deep, sultry voice today. So I just said the Combs family is a family that tries its best to give others the benefit of the doubt and see situations from the perspective of others while choosing to give them grace in all situations. We're a family that forgives, even if an apology hasn't been given. And we choose to make the most of circumstances and have fun while loving and including others.
Nice. Have a fun ball. It lights up. Did anybody have anything about love in theirs? Do you mind sharing? Okay.
Okay, the Andrews family loves, the Andrews family is a family that loves Christ. We love each other. We show each other love by being patient, using kind words, and giving each other grace. With these things, you have love.
I'll trade you. Anybody have safety? Can I pick on you right here?
Sure,
since everybody pointed.
The Penick family is a family that listens to each other, is safe, and loving. We will always love each other by being a safe place to talk about your thoughts and feelings and by truly listening to each other on a deep level.
Thank you. I'll share a safe thing for you. Anybody have something about healing? Did anybody have a healing thing? Did anybody have anything about sweets? Okay. Did anybody have anything about cleanliness? You guys are my kind of ladies, yeah. Would somebody share something else that they had in theirs? Oh, I like that. Will you share your courageous statement?
Be brave.
Okay.
The Darling family is a family that values generosity and truth. We have integrity in our work ethic. We are courageous and we seek adventure together.
Nice. Anybody have else? They want to show off their craftsmanship that they did great work or their neighbor helped them do great work? Nice. Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. So the one thing is, you might want to have little things around your house that kind of remind you of your focus. So that's why I'm like, here's a little quick candle. Because you'll look at it and go, oh yeah, is love abounding here? If somebody has memories and they say, oh, I want to make sure memories are focused on, do we have a little picture frame with a memory in it? And then you can be like, oh yeah, I just want to remember that really well. if you guys are a family that wants to be sweet together, have something. I mean, we all have different flavors to it. So throw some candy in a bowl and just be like, hey, that's my motto there. If you're talking about being sensitive, maybe when you look at your Dove soap in the morning, you're like, oh, yeah, I want to be sensitive here. So just little reminders that go, oh, yeah, I need to stay on track. And some of us, I used to never talk about this because it was kind of awkward, but some of us have been in situations, or we are in situations, where we go, you know what, I'm in a family situation that's not going very well right now. What do I do? I really want to go this direction, but I've got either a spouse that's really pulling against me on that, I've got circumstances, I've got life that's happening really differently. And I think there's a couple things that to really be thinking through this. This is your mission. And most men, if you're in a coupled with another man, if most men will go along to say, tell me what to do so I can be successful. So if you go in with a mission statement, they might say, oh, I don't really like that one word. But overall, they're going to be like, cool. Okay, now I know where I fit in, and they'll fit right in. And there's a couple times where there's going to be somebody that you're coupled with that's going to be like, heck no, I am not having that family go that direction. We're going a completely different direction. And so what do you do with those pieces? And so I just want to talk about that for a few seconds and say, sometimes we're going to be in hard situations. But it's also to keep your flavor alive and well, because it's important that if you're saying, this is what I really feel that is my God-given responsibility to, and I've been entrusted to do these things, that we really follow through and keep the best of our ability to do the things that we want to do. If your thing was sensitivity, I really want to stay sensitive, or something along those lines, and the person says, I hate sensitivity. Nothing about sensitivity. Well, if that's who you really feel like you were meant to be, you can keep being sensitive. But it doesn't mean you're going to keep talking to the kids about being sensitive necessarily, but you could say, hey, I hope you guys feel like I'm sensitive to your needs. Or you choose another word, because there might be something in that wording that is a problem for the other person. But I think sometimes we get really stopped and we're like, uh-oh, you know, I know that could be a problem for somebody. I think talk about it. Figure out, you know, if that's a real triggering word for that person that you're partnered with and you're also co-parenting with, how do you do that together? How do we talk about that? Is there another word that has some of the same sentiments that we could put in there? One of the things that was really helpful as my kids got older, especially in junior high, is we had a song. And we kind of were just goofy. And we did the Pirates That Can't Do Anything song. You know that song? We are the pirates. I won't sing it. But we are the pirates that don't do anything. We just sit around. And we just stay home and lay around. And if you ask us to do anything, we'll just tell you, we don't do anything. So Saturday morning, when our kids got really lazy at a certain period of time, we would just crank on the music and start house cleaning, because it was important to us to have some sort of a managed house. And even though our kids were really, rebutting us in that area, or really like not wanting to go along there, my husband and I, we said, hey, we got to have some order in our house. And Saturday morning is when we can do this. So we just played along with it and kind of laughed. I had somebody send me this last week on Spotify. They have a whole playlist. They have five kids, and they picked a song for that each child really likes and identifies with. And that has become their theme song. So they play it at different times when their family's doing things together. And it kind of changes the whole mood. So be thinking of ways that you're going to keep teaching what you believe throughout the years, but it's going to change a little bit. And there's going to be different stages of life where your kids are going to go, wait a minute, that's not who I identify with. But for you to say, no, we're still going in that same direction, and it's going to look a little bit different for you is okay too. But we're still headed in this direction. And it's helpful. And I think that's the piece that when I was saying, what do you want to really see accomplished in different families, is that you really are who you say you want to be. And when your kids turn 16, 18, 19, 20, or older, that they can look back and they can say, you know what, our household had these qualities. And you want it to be so clear that they know what it was you were aiming towards. And along those lines, you'll have days that are kind of disappointing, because you'll be like, I really, you know, wish things had gone. I'm not trying to look at all of us that are a little bit older. But we've all had experiences where we go, oh, our kids didn't quite do the things that we really wish they had done. But is it maybe a training period? And yes, maybe they didn't get the same lesson that we thought we were teaching. How do we need to change that a little bit? And to me, that's more like your yearly goal, that you really say every year, like, how am I reinforcing this? How am I doing in the reinforcement of this? How come it needs to look so different for this XYZ child than this child? But if our goal is this end thing in mind, how do we get to that peace? The other thing I think is really important is to think about what traditions you're going to have that reinforce it. A lot of people will say, well, Thanksgiving, we go around the table and we talk because gratitude is one of our pieces. We talk about what we're thankful for. Okay, perfect. Other people will say, well, we're really sports fanatics, and so we really make sure that we've reinforced that piece by doing something at a certain time. And I'm going to ask you to meet together with another person this time and just talk for maybe 3 to 5 minutes, and we're going to talk about what things, how you'll know that you've been successful, and also what tradition and what you would like to see celebrated. So I'm asking you to really commit to something today and say, okay, I'm committing that I'm going to, when we get to XYZ, and I'm not talking something 10 years out, I'm talking something this year, that you can say, hey, when we get to this point, we're going to celebrate this. It's incremental. Does that make sense? Okay, will you turn to somebody else and share that piece? Are we ready to share? How do you like that? Would you on the front row be willing to share? Can you? Awesome. One is perfect. Marianne was asking me a few minutes ago, what's something you did as a family that you, and I said, oh, I really wish I had done what I really like now, like when my kids were little. So this is a wonderful form to get to practice some things, learn some things. And so I thought the coolest idea, but I didn't do it. So it's not original with me. My kids are now old. But what they did is this family started when they were little, and then at New Year's Eve time, they'd all write on a plastic tablecloth with a Sharpie, and they'd write something about that year or something they loved about that year. And so now they're all bringing their kids back, and they're now drawing on top of the tablecloth. So it's the same cloth. It's not like a cloth. It's like a plastic one. But it's very cool looking, and I'm like, oh, that's so much fun, so many. And then every time, as different people come every year, you keep adding to it. So we put our little marks on there for a few years, too. And I'm like, that was so fun.
Yeah.
Would you share?
Well, I just have one that it was kind of recent to us because we have a little guy, now two little guys, but a family vacation. And it was so important to us to get away together and go do something. We went to Hawaii this summer and for a week, and it was just a really good, sweet time together. And every year we just are going to look forward to going somewhere new and adventure and just building those memories together.
Beautiful. And did you have adventure as part of your mission statement?
No, but we had memories.
Love it. Good. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else be comfortable sharing? Oh, thank you.
I had that one too, but also when we usually take a vacation or go somewhere new, we always get a Christmas ornament, and we write the date actually on the back of it. So every year when we decorate our tree, we have the ornament of wherever we went and the date, and it brings back memories. So we've been doing that now for 15 years. So yeah, so that's really cool. And then also during like just the Christmas time, doing like stockings for kids, but just kind of that giving thoughtfulness of others, helping others. So,
thank you. Jamie, do you mind sharing yours? Because I overheard conversation.
Yeah, you bet. Sure. So I, our family, there's a couple of them. But the one that I shared with you was that we do Christmas gifts for Jesus. So at, right, like the week of, often it is Christmas Eve that we, I have three girls, and so you can do this with three girls. We have crafting supplies, you know, in every corner of the house. And so we bring out all the stickers and ribbons and sparkles, and my husband joins right in with us, and we spread them all out on the dining room table and make cards, but they've gotten very elaborate, and then write on them what's on our heart to give to Jesus that year. And so, you know, for the kids, when they're little, I'm going to give them my heart. And it was sweet, but they didn't really know what that meant. For me and for Matt, it's been really significant. In fact, as I look back at those, I keep them all in a scrapbook. And so we pull them out every Christmas to review and just see what we've given in the past. But it's been really significant. I've done things like given Jesus my husband in a year when I just needed to really have some help in my marriage. And so it's turned into a wonderful tradition that we all love and then can review back, you know, the things that he's done in our lives. So. So yeah, so that the number one thing for me is that our home is has Christ at the center. So that just puts our heart and mind and models what that looks like, that we have a Savior and that we can lay things at his feet, our burdens at his feet. So
thank you. Does anybody else have anything to share? Oh, thank you.
So for the past 2 years, when we've gone into preschool, we've done a back-to-school party. And I pick a verse for each year. So last year it was, let your light shine before men, basically that one. And I decorated our area with like candles and gold and all sorts of stuff. And so then we come and my kids don't know what's happening or what the verse is going to be. And they show up and we teach it to them and we say it. And we always do a craft. So that year we got like a dollar store plastic candle and we wrote in Sharpie all the ways they could let their light shine at school that year. And so then this last year we did Joshua 1:9, which was about having courage, for the Lord your God is with you. So we did a Wonder Woman theme and my husband made little like Wonder Woman balloons and we did a whole huge thing and we came and we made shields and they wrote on them ways they could have courage that year. So that's kind of our budding tradition. And then so then every morning before school, we kind of pray that verse into their day. So we kind of think about what their theme should be for the year and what things that they're struggling with and try to pick a verse that's framed around those things.
Nice. Thank you. Does anybody else have a simple one? Okay.
One of my values is just that people will be affirmed and there be a safe place to share and express your feelings. So two of the ways that's manifested are just sharing highs and lows at dinner every day, even if your child is only two, you know, just give them a chance to talk about it. And then the other thing is having dates with your kids. So maybe like one or two times a month per kid and just have a special time with just that individual, go out to breakfast or whatever, just so that they can be heard and just have a little fun time with mom or dad or whoever. So.
Thank you. You guys have shared beautifully. Thank you so much. And hopefully you've gotten something out of today because you've shared just your hearts and your souls and kind of bared each other's burdens in certain ways. So I love it. And hopefully you've been able to make some better friends and know somebody a little bit better and gotten some good feedback. So the goal would be is that as you have these intentions, keep going forward. And part of what your discussion is going to be in your small groups is like, what stops us from being the person we want to be? Is there something that's stopping us? And then how do we kind of, I need an accountability partner. If I'm going to get it to the gym, it's because my friend says, hey, I'm going to buy you coffee after. It helps. And I'm not in love with working out, but my friend loves to work out. So we're a good team together. And I would just suggest that's kind of how life is about. And if you can really partner up with some people and say, hey, we can really do this together. And share with each other. Don't be afraid to say, hey, how's that going? And then to be able to say, this week was just not where we were on track, but we're trying to get back on track for next week. Pray for each other, hold each other accountable, help each other. And the journey's really fun. And it's hard to do this journey all by yourself. So I just want to encourage you. I appreciate the fact you're here today because I know that you're trying to do things for your family, for yourselves in a good way. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.